Welcome to the Passion for Technology podcast, powered by EBV Electronic.
Technology passionate people make a difference. They turn smart ideas into high-tech products and develop answers to the challenges of tomorrow. Today, we are talking to Dr. Simon Haradin, CEO of Franca Emica, about his journey of developing and producing the robots for everyone. Hi, Simon. Great to talk to you today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Your robots truly are revolutionizing the market. So let's get right into it with a short explanation of what's so special about the Franca Emica robots. Can you tell us about it?
Well, in a nutshell, I'd say that we actually, with our first product, which is a fully AI-capable robot power tool, we actually call it. It has a very exceptional performance, usable like a smartphone, has more than 100 sensors integrated in each of the systems, and all that at a fraction of cost compared to what other industrial-suited robotic solutions usually cost. And besides usability and affordability, we actually gave robotics a sense of touch through a completely own-developed cutting-edge sensor technology, algorithms, an own operating system, software stack, combined with mechanical compliance, so that the robot can actually interact with the real world and it's capable of learning and understanding the real world. I think this combination of usability, functionality, affordability, and also scalability, because what we did, we built a similar platform. Again, we built the Franca World, which connects all our robots basically with each other. And you can exchange software apps to all your robots. And I think this combination is very, very unique.
So today we also want to talk about the drivers of innovation. Was there a magic moment in which you discovered your passion for technology?
I think I had in my youth two major moments. One was a Christmas gift when I was something like 6 or 7 years old. I got my first Lego Technic truck, built it myself back then with a hydraulic pump. And then when it suddenly could move itself, I understood what, you know, assembling something could actually mean. And I think the second major moment was when I built my first computer when I was something like 14, and it booted the first time and actually worked. And I think these were two quite striking memories that I can remember of, and still is ongoing, that I can be quite engaged and passionate for technology.
So you got excited about electronics at an early age?
Without really knowing it. I didn't know what I was doing, but you know, back in the days, this is not so long, but 20 years ago, computers were a bit different than today, and off-the-shelf computers were not as capable of as you wanted them to be, so you had to build your own computer if you wanted to have a high-performance machine as what you can actually purchase today. So without really knowing what I'm into, I knew I was into computers and programming and hacking.
But you decided to study medicine then. How did that come?
Well, actually, I wanted to study something more technical, but it was our mother who actually registered us for the studies. And my mother always had in mind that I should be a medical doctor. So she did that actually for me. And then I went to the interview and everything, and it worked out. And then I thought, yeah, why not? I wouldn't miss it for the world. Studying medicine gives you a lot of knowledge about people, about how humans work. And still today, I can use a lot of this knowledge, even if I don't work in a hospital. But we are building basically machines that resemble humans. And I think this knowledge also helps me to have maybe some ideas that a pure engineer maybe wouldn't have.
So how important is passion if you want to be successful with a new technology?
I think passion is highly important, because when you build something new, there's a lot of hurdles and struggles along the way. And I think passion, resilience, drive, always helps you to go also through the bad times, because there have been bad times and there are always bad times. And if you are more engaged than just, let's say, on a very formal base, I think it would lead that you give up. And I think passion helps you not to give up.
Mm-hmm. Good point, that passion lets you overcome hurdles. Can you tell us about your road to success and the major milestones? Sure, you had some ups and downs.
I think the good thing is that the ups way surpass the downs. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, in your memories, or also, you know, downs are always more striking than ups. And if you're successful, you sometimes forget how many ups you actually have, and you focus a little bit on the downs. Maybe this taken before major milestones. I mean, one thing is obviously that, I mean, we were lucky enough to be educated, to be honest. Of course, there's always brilliant minds who don't need education, but I need that. And I think I was lucky enough to get receive a quite good education. And then when we actually engaged into robotics, to engage also in the German Aerospace Center, the department or Institute of Mechatronics and Robotics here in the south of Munich, I think this was a ideal place for us, because we were able to use technologies and research that is decades old. And the people who worked there always gave us a lot of freedom for new ideas. So I think we were very lucky in terms of place and time that we were even able to enter in such a technology. And then, of course, building your own company, you always need to... We started the first one in 2012, and you always need to find people 10 years before actually things become reality, that somehow believe that what you're saying is not just a dream, but might actually become reality. So, of course, finding also people who fund your ideas, and that are private people, but also the government here in Bavaria always helped us quite a lot, to be honest. Yeah, and then actually building an entire robot system, which was never really on the map to start with, but at some point it had to be built, because no robot system on the market had these skills and features we think a robot should have. And we had to build a production. We actually have the highest automated assembly line in the world. It's here around 1.5 hours away from Munich. And also to find somebody who builds such a production line with us, and then entering the market, going global, recruiting partners. I mean, we had so many milestones over the past years, where it all started actually as a small, very, very small business, even the wrong word, to be honest. It was more like a workshop, two people and a lot of students we recruited from our engagement with the university. And most of them are still here, actually, and are now team leads, have entire teams working for them, bringing the same ideas to the world. It's a long way. And today we are on the point where we are building actually a major growth organization that is engaging in many, many markets. And there is every year a new milestone, a completely new thing we have to engage with, because we are still a young team. I would say we haven't done everything wrong. Probably we didn't do everything right, but we are still here, and it's a quite exciting also road ahead, not only behind.
And we are curious to see what's ahead of you. Is there anything on the technology side that urgently needs to be improved to enable further developments in robotics?
I mean, if you are focusing now on what we are doing, and we are building basically assistive systems for the real world, I think the most important technology parts are, first of all, the mechatronics, or the hardware, that we have more performant but also more affordable sensor technology. I think this is highly important. It's a reason why we developed so much in-house, actually, because, for instance, torque sensors were not on the market on the price and the performance that we need. So a lot of sensor technology, I think, needs to be further developed. Also drive technologies, motors and gears and so on, for the application in robotics and applications in the real world. Second thing, I think, is the connectivity. So how do we actually communicate machine to machine? Because the current internet, I don't think, is the right place for it, as it is very centralized at some point. And I think we need a more decentralized network for that. Also because the amount, the volume, and the frequency of data coming from machines is much, much higher than what the normal, parentheses, normal internet actually requires. I think security is always, obviously, safety and security is highly important, especially with machines that engage in the real world. It's not always necessary about also human protection, but of course human protection is the highest goal, but also you do not want to damage your household goods or anything like that. So security and safety is always very important, and the network needs to be impenetrable. And I think perception, especially visual perception. So what we did, we gave the robot a sense of touch. And I think we are very far there. And of course, you can always improve it, but the foundation is extremely strong. But the next sense, the visual sense, so seeing something, it's very weak until today. Good thing is the biggest technology companies on the planet are all working on that. And I hope at some point in time they will be at least somehow performant, comparable to the human eye, because until today, computer vision is much weaker than human vision. And I think this, and then the combination also with vision and manipulation, which is basically interacting with the real world, I think these are the big things that need to change.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, and at the end of our talk, do you have any tips or advice for our listeners on how they can turn their idea of a technology application into a successful product?
I think if you are convinced of something, first of all, you need to be clear that you need to work hard. Nobody will ever give you something for free, so you need to work very hard on something if you're convinced about it. And if you're convinced about it, and if you are working on something that is quite disruptive or a breakthrough, you need to know that there will not only be people who think it's great and say yes, but you need to be clear that often the world is not ready for disruptions and maybe don't understand them or maybe don't know. And the people are usually not as well trained and an expert in the field you are working in. So you need to make sure that either you are very good in explaining what you're doing and people understand it right away, which is often difficult because things that are so clear for you are usually not clear for everybody else. Mm-hmm. So you will have hurdles and you will have people that say, I don't think it's a good idea. Or even they say quite often, I think it's impossible what you guys are up to. And especially not the first time or second time, don't give up, right? Because you always need to work on your technology. You also learn on how to communicate your breakthrough ideas, because it's not as easy as you might think, or you think in your team, because for you guys, everything is normal, which is rocket science to a lot of people outside of your office.
So believe in your ideas and don't give up. If you want to get more insights from Simon or get to know other technology passionate people, please read our magazine, The Quintessence of Passion for Technology, by downloading the app TQ by EBB.
And of course, you're always welcome to visit us in Munich.
Thank you for this offer and all the best for you, Simon.